The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This hour of Always Right Radio is brought to you by The Floor King and KeepingMedicareSimple.com.
You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance.
This is Always Right Radio with Bob France on AM 1420, The Answer.
All right, hour number three is underway at 8 minutes, now 9 minutes past 11 o'clock. Thank you so very much for being with us. Thanks to Thomas Massie, joined us last half hour. If you missed that conversation with the Kentucky congressman, you'll hear it, along with the conversation I had with Dr. Everett Piper before that at WHKRadio.com, about an hour after the show. So about an hour and a half from now, it'll be available there, and you're going to want to hear those conversations. I'm pleased to welcome my friend John Stover, who is in our studio with us today here. John Stover is the president of Ohio Value Voters, and we're going to talk about a few different things and see what's going on with OVV. John, it's good to see you. How are you?
Good, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you coming into the studio as well. What is new with Ohio Value Voters?
Well, you know, Ohio Value Voters, we're continuing to fight the same issues that you talk about every single day from 9 to 12. And, you know, I wanted to also mention to you, Bob, that our organization, we have six board members. I'm one of them. Diane is the other, my wife. And we have Jim and Teresa Kerrig and Charlie Genta, and then Pastor Dan Wolven. Those are our board members. And something that we discussed roughly 6 years ago was to come up with a award that would be the highest award that would be given to the person that we believed was doing the much that doing as much as that one could possibly do for religious liberty, as well as the other liberties that we have as Americans. Those liberties include, you know, the First Amendment. It covers a number of liberties that we have, the Second Amendment. I mean, even most recently with COVID and not being jabbed, you know, the liberties there to medical freedom. And, of course, FISA, and I heard your last guest discussing that. So it's something that we have looked at. So we came up with an award, and it's referred to as the Patrick Henry Liberty Award. Patrick Henry was an interesting individual. Most of us learned in school when we attended of his Give Me Liberty, Give Me Death speech. You know, the thing that they don't realize about Patrick Henry was that speech that he gave at St. John's Church in Richmond in March of 1775, 2 weeks earlier, riding on his horse through Culpeper, Virginia, he saw a man that was strapped to a whipping post, and this man had his back laid wide open. And he asked townspeople, he said, what is this all about? Why is this man being whipped? Ultimately, he died from it, from his whipping. And it was so bad that Patrick Henry basically could see this man's ribs after the whipping. And townspeople said, well, he's a separatist Baptist preacher that will not accept the king's license to preach. He felt, you know what, I have every right to preach. God has given me that right. I don't need a license from the King of England. So Patrick Henry remembered that event 2 weeks earlier, and when he gave his infamous speech, which was a whole lot more, and we'll post that on our website, ohiovaluevoters.org, as to his entire speech, which is something that, once again, many people did not learn. So the recipients in the past of a Patrick Henry Liberty Award, Bob, has been President Trump If we could, we'd give it to President Reagan. But President Trump, we've given it to Congressman Jim Jordan, and also the third recipient in 2022 was somebody who was the architect of the heartbeat bill. That's Janet Folger Porter. Mm-hmm. She was the architect, and she was standing up for, of course, the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness for the unborn. So the 2024 recipient, and it was unanimous, it wasn't even close, is the following. And let me just read that, if I may. Ohio Valley of Voters proudly presents the 2024 Patrick Henry Liberty Award to Bob France, Always Right Radio, Salem Media Group. And Bob, I can tell you that you know, our organization appreciates tremendously the work that you do on air, the guests that you have on, and the fact that you are constantly standing up for the people in our state, in our country, with Always Right Radio. There was a time that I was a little concerned with Always Right Radio. This was November of 2022, whenever you came on the air and you said, I have a special announcement to make. And, you know, you left everybody wondering, what is it that he's going to announce? I thought, Bob's running for Congress. He's running for Senate. He's doing something here that's going to be very important. And then you came on the air and you said, you know, I've changed my mind. I'm going to get jabbed. I'm going to take the COVID vaccine that's being recommended. I almost fell over. I thought, oh no, he's changing, going from always right to always left. And I can still remember, a housewife that called in. And this housewife, when she called in, she said, I was doing some work in the kitchen. You came on the air, made that statement. I thought you were serious. She said, I dropped everything. And it just put me in remembrance of the 1938 Orson Welles War of the Worlds, when they thought that the world was coming to an end because Martians had attacked. So fortunately, you didn't allow that to go on too long, and people realized you were just joking. But, Bob, it's with great honor that Ohio Value Voters presents this award to you today.
Well, I don't have a – yeah, thank you, Seth. I don't have a whole lot of words, and it's rare that I say that because I have lots of words. Sometimes I have the best words. I'm humbled, particularly given the names of the people that you have given that to in the past. I don't feel like, you know, the contributions that I'm able to make. You know, we all, John, a lot of people will tell me how, you know, that they're inspired by some of the things that I say that I do, and they go and do their, you know, their parts. And that's what I say, is we all have a part to play. We all have a role in the grand scheme here of what we're trying to do, which isn't much, by the way. You know, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're not trying to create something from nothing. Creation was already done by God, and the inspired founders of this country created the Constitution and you know, provided us with all we have to do is just maintain. We don't have to do anything really special here. We just have to keep things going the way that they are, because they are as good as it gets. It's the greatest thing in history. And we all have a role to play in that, in whatever that looks like. And I play my role with a microphone and maybe in some venues where I give speeches and so on and so forth. And I don't feel like what I do is that special. I just have a bigger voice and a bigger, like I said, a bigger platform than others, but it's people like you. You don't have a platform every day. You know, I mean, you know, to the extent that you can reach your email list of followers, you know, newsletters and so on and so forth. But you and, you know, Diane and the other board members and the volunteers at organizations like OVV and several others who are working very hard to, again, just kind of maintain that which we were gifted. You guys do all of this stuff without the notoriety that a guy like people like me get, because we have the you know, the transmitter and the microphone. So it's a little, it's humbling, but it's almost a little bit, I feel almost a little bit undeserving of such a thing from people who, you know, you do this for your life. You do this day after day after day and week after week and month after month. And sadly, after some results like what happened in November, disappointment after disappointment. And instead of, you know, throwing in the towel, you guys keep fighting. You guys are the ones that deserve the awards. And I feel almost, like I said, undeserving of such an honor. But
Well, you know, Bob, you have those that course, look at it otherwise. And you have, you know, you're doing a great deal for, once again, the civil liberties. And, you know, you can't say enough about the liberties that, unfortunately, we're not going to see realized with the unborn in our state and in our country. You know, I mean, this is something that is very, very troubling to me personally. You know, before I get into, I know what you wanted to discuss here regarding President Trump and his position regarding abortion. But, you know, people have asked, well, did President Trump actually receive this award, Patrick Henry Liberty Award? I can assure you that I know that it went to Mar-a-Lago. The big question is it still there, or did the FBI take that along with all of the other boxes whenever they, you know, performed that illegal raid on his home?
That's a great question. And that is a beautiful plaque, by the way. And the idea that that award that you brought with you here for me is the identical award that President Trump has and that Congressman Jordan has, maybe in their offices or on a mantle in their home, is very, very humbling. And I do want to talk about that. But before we talk about that aspect of it, because I don't like, in such a crucially important election cycle that we're in, you know, we're 6.5 months away-ish from the election, I don't like having to say anything that isn't fully supportive of the effort of getting President Trump back in office, because the alternative is, quite frankly, it's unsustainable. Another 4 years of what we have endured, and I'm not talking about just the economy and our wallets are a little lighter and our pennies are pinching a little bit more. I'm talking about the existence of the country as it is now. It's in jeopardy. So I don't like to talk about things that are counter to the goal here, but I do know that pro-life organizations, including Ohio Value Voters, are looking at some of the things and saying, wait a minute, what is the goal here, Mr. President? You said you're pro-life. And President Trump had a conversion, by the way, which is not, you know, to be dismissed lightly, but he had been on, you know, many an interview format prior to his political, you know, launch, being a fully pro-choice Democrat and saying, I believe in a woman's right to choose. And in one interview, I've seen it many times, we've all seen it, in which he said, the interviewer said, does that mean, you know, at any time? You know, third trimester, and he paused and think they were even talking about partial birth abortions. And he said, you know, if you're going to be pro-choice, you have to be all the way pro-choice. So, yes. So he had a conversion. When he ran for president, he told us he was pro-life, and thank God he has been. He was the first sitting president ever to attend the March for Life. He has been very, very strong on pro-life causes. And now that he's running for re-election, or to boot Biden out of there and get his second term, He's all over the place. And I'm just wondering what OVV's viewpoints are here. Yesterday in Atlanta, he told reporters that if Congress passed a federal ban on abortion, he would not sign it if he's the president. He also said that the Arizona law, which bans abortions in that state, with the exception of saving the life of the mother, he said it goes too far and needs to be straightened out. And of Florida's 6-week heartbeat law now, which was similar to Ohio's, we'll talk about that part in a moment, he said that's going to change. Everybody wants it to happen, and you're getting the will of the people. So I'm just trying to figure out where the president is on his pro-life stance, because he has been very much, you know, supportive of pro-life causes, but then he says things like this, and I'm wondering, is this going to help the cause of getting him back into the White House? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, excuse me, Bob. One of the things that we look at our organization is this, is that, you know, any time that you have a group of people in any society being dehumanized, whether it's the Jews in Germany and Europe, or the last greatest moral issue that we've ever faced in this country, which was slavery, you know, I look upon this as being extremely similar to what we saw relative to the Dobbs decision, turning things back over to the states, as it relates to the Dred Scott decision of March of 1857, a 7-2 decision by the Supreme Court against Dred Scott. It had been working its way for about 8 to 10 years through the courts, finally reached the Supreme Court. They ruled 7-2 against Dred Scott, basically saying that Dred Scott is the slave. His master had the right to his property, and there was not due process to take that right from him. Well, we look back on that and we say, well, that's ridiculous. What a decision that nobody today would look back on and support. Well, you know, we look at, once again, the states' rights that they had at that time. They had slave states and free states. Mm-hmm. So for someone to have come forward at that point in time and make the statement after the Dred Scott decision to basically say, look, here's what we're going to do. Similar to the 14, 15, 16 week, okay, that abortions would be permitted, we're going to say we're only going to have someone who is black, they're going to be a slave up until their 14th, 15th, 16th birthday. We're not going to, that would have been foolish to have even have thought. But here's what we're dealing with today, and our organization has endorsed President Trump. We disagree 100% relative to the decision that he has made relative to abortion. I understand why he's made it from a political perspective.
Right.
But I certainly believe that even in the state of Ohio, Bob, if we had had, as was the case relative to getting to what had taken place in Germany and specifically the concentration camps, Eisenhower went in, he brought in photographers, he brought in people with video cams, and they ended up taking to make sure that nobody forgot what had taken place. If every single Ohioan of voting age would have been required to have watched the silent scream or one of those other videos, we would have saw a much, much different outcome relative to the heartbeat bill. So getting back to the president, we disagree with his position. We continue to be pro-life from a conception standpoint. That position is not going to change, but we have endorsed President Trump because, as you stated, the alternative is certainly something we don't want to see.
Yeah, no question about it. And you know, the only reason I think it needs to be brought up at all is because he is going to need every pro-life voter in America, in particular in the seven states that are going to decide the election. I think it's pretty clear that there are 43 states that are really not in doubt. Ours is one of them. But in the seven states that it is going to be, you know, a very, you know, nip and tuck thing. I mean, literally, you know, every vote is going to count. I don't want anybody who's decidedly pro-life to hear things like this and say, I'm not going to be voting, either not voting or, you know, voting for someone else or voting third party. The president needs to, I think, coalesce and his voters need to coalesce around him in a unified fashion to say, look, we are all very much adamantly pro-life. I think he can say, look, it should be states' rights and that's okay. And then we have to work harder in our states to try to change things like what happened in November. But to say that if there was an agreement among all members of the people's representatives, if the Congress and the House and the Senate put a bill on your desk to ban abortions federally, he said he wouldn't sign it.
Yeah, that's
troubling to me.
Oh, it is.
And he needs to clarify that with people and explain why and talk about it from the political perspective as opposed to the faith and the life perspective, because I think that's troubling for people.
Well, you know, one of the things that we saw in the state of Ohio in the General Assembly, not this session, but the previous session, that, you know, I've spoken to the State Representative Gary Click. Mm-hmm. He introduced a personhood bill, very short, but basically this is what we need to see, is that the unborn child has every single constitutional right that all of us have as Americans.
Right.
And we need to drive that question back to the Supreme Court, personhood. And that, you know, because if we are able to do that, I'm hopeful that we'll see a different outcome versus the states' rights. I mean, once again, nobody thought that it was appropriate to have states to determine who would be a slave and who would not be a slave based upon the right state that they were from. And it's the same thing holds true with the rights of the unborn.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. And to the state of Ohio and what happened in November with the constitutional amendment, to my understanding, there is work being done right now in Columbus trying to figure out what some of the words meant in the language and in the, you know, the vernacular of the actual amendment, and that once the intention of those words is gleaned and once it's, you know, actually confirmed, there may be something they can do to lessen the dramatic impact of any time for any reason up until the moment of birth, which is essentially what that did. You are in constant contact with our legislators there. Do you know where that stands right now?
You know, I know that that's something that is being worked on. I've spoken to a number of legislators, Bob, regarding that point, because there was so much ambiguity in that constitutional amendment. That's exactly right. And I've spoken to them. I said, you know, it is going to be the responsibility of the General Assembly to define so that there is no ambiguity relative to that constitutional amendment.
Yeah, and I don't know how it's probably going to be something that takes a very long time to play out in the courts, because there's going to be legislation put forward saying this word is ambiguous and therefore it can be interpreted this way, so therefore the amendment has to be struck down or it has to be amended by another legislative action, and this is probably going to be in the courts for a long time.
Yes.
In the meantime, what is law? Is the six-week heartbeat law still in effect now, or does the constitutional amendment, while challenges are going on, does that take precedent? Do we know?
You know, my understanding is that it's, you know, everything has been put on hold at this point in time.
Okay.
And that's my understanding.
Okay, that's the reason I'm asking, because if everything is put on hold, what has been settled law, which is the signing of the heartbeat, you know, DeWine, one of the few things he did, I think, that was worthwhile, is he signed that law. So that would still be in effect.
That's my understanding.
At 6 weeks or ish, whenever the heartbeat can be detected. So the amendment for the time being is on hold.
Yes.
Okay. I hope that is the case, because, you know, as long as it is a state by state thing, do you, I know we're a little short here, but do you, John, feel like the elimination of Roe versus Wade with the Dobbs decision is better for the cause of life or worse?
You know, I feel that it is better, but once again, it doesn't cover those children that are unborn. It doesn't cover the children that can be aborted as a result of the Dobbs decision and turning it back over to the states, because you're going to have New York, California coming up with extremely liberal laws that would be put in place that would take it all the way up to the ninth month.
Yeah, and well, you know, and we would expect that from California and New York. We didn't expect it here in Ohio, and that
That's
is
right.
literally what happened. That's the reason I asked you, because it's, and I've asked many guests that since last November, looking at red states that have traditionally been pro-life states doing something as radical here, I almost feel like I'd rather go back to Roe. Because at least we had the heartbeat law and we could do some things like that here. And I know that's such a very, very difficult thing. And maybe that's why President Trump is, he's got to balance political, you know, strategy here and what's going to draw more people in versus what his, you know, his beliefs are. And sometimes it goes back and forth. And I think that's what's happening here. And I just hope we get some clarity from him so that we can all be rowing the boat in the same direction.
Yes.
In support of life. And in support of President Trump retaking the White House so that we can get this country back on the path that it's supposed to be on. So, okay, John Stover, Ohio Value Voters. Again, I'm honored and I'm humbled by that you would come down to the studio bearing that that beautiful plaque there with the Patrick Henry Award. I want to thank you for coming on, and I want to thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you, Bob. And I want to make reference to the fact that right now your listeners can go to ohiovaluevoters.org, and they will see that on the banner page, the actual award.
I was going to say myself, I wish this was TV or podcasted or something on camera, because that award is so beautiful. So that's good to know that they can see that there. So at ohiovaluevoters.org. John Stover, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. It's 11:30. We'll take our final time out of here. We've got one more segment. We'll make that yours. 216-901-0945. If you want to get in line, do it right now on Always Right Radio, AM 1420, The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.